Right now, it is time for Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. You can find them on the web, tqag.com, or on a Tuesday morning right here on Robinhood Radio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Tim.
There's Tim.
There's Tim, you there? There's no Tim? There's no Tim. Why is there no Tim? Let's see what's going on.
I know he's... Well, he's in Cleveland, but I know he's... He's hooked up because I just texted him before, so have to maybe try again.
All right. Well, let's see. I've got this new setup here where I'm going to click more and see if I can find where Skype changes every week.
I know. They do it on purpose just to drive us nuts, Marshall.
Well, especially us old-timers. two of three in on the calls is what it says here, and it doesn't give me a chance to add anybody. Hang on. Okay. Tim Luke. It says remove, but no, we're going to try Tim. I might cut you off on this, but I'm going to try this, okay?
That's okay.
And then if I do, I'll just call you right back. It doesn't seem to be working. It says I have three participants here now. But it says Tim Luke's
Hello.
On hold. He says Tim
oh,
Luke's...
Oh, there he is. I hear him.
Tim?
Hello.
There you are. It says I've got a little yellow... on hold.
I'm not.
Well, here, that's... That's good to know. Because
you know they lie. They lie when they say just point and click.
I know.
It's just a total lie.
Well, I wouldn't be bad if they didn't update it all the time and change the way that where you can find things. You know, it's just anyways. I'm glad something to talk to you guys about. Uh-huh. And it's something.
How is Jill?
Jill is doing
for ages.
She's doing fine, but of course she has all the animals that she has to deal with in the morning, so it's really hard for her to get in here.
Yeah.
All right, she left me an insert, I think, from the New York Times, because they're the only one that would do something like this, on the Paul G. Allen Collection Visionary, which runs at Christie's. Quoting Paul Allen here, I believe that good art helps us see the world around us a little differently, gives us fresh perspective, even sometimes a stronger sense of purpose. And so Visionary, the Paul G. Allen Collection. And I guess the auction is going to run the 9th and 10th of November.
Is it the 9th? Yes, it is the 9th and 10th. And there's been a lot of hype about this, actually. It's one of the things, as you know, I get these updates all the time, and some of them I usually follow Christie's and Sotheby's for the promos for these things, and this is a really cool collection.
Well, and also, just so people know, Paul G. Allen is the co-founder of Microsoft and has... his collection includes more than 150 different masterpieces spanning close to 500 years of art history. So there's a real variety of items that are in this collection.
Well, if he is president or CEO, we need to get him on the line about talking about Skype and getting that fixed, well, because this is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
co-founder.
Yeah, just right.
He's moved on.
there's also an exhibition that started and runs through, I think, November 8th for this. It's
correct.
Not just an auction. It's an exhibition and auction.
Right. Right.
And well, I think it's 2 days. The auction is it's going to be 2 days, two sessions. And the first one, I think, is on, it's on
the ninth and the 10th.
So, and there's some really amazing stuff in there, and it really runs the gamut. I mean, it's just really quite remarkable. And it would be this would be one that would be fantastic to see in person, the exhibition, because this is there's some really cool stuff in there.
Well, yeah, explain to me a little bit here. When somebody like a CEO or somebody who's wealthy builds their collection, of course they build it because they want to build a collection, and it's an investment. They want it to, the value to grow. But are there distinct does a person's likes and dislikes count more than what the value of a piece of art is?
That's a good question, because Tim, I know what I'm going to say, so I'll let you go first on this.
Okay, so I believe that what they if they are like a co-founder of a company or something like this, they have specific likes and dislikes. There might be certain things. So the art advisor or somebody who's helping them will help guide them in a way that they collect and add the type of artists and styles that are going to be reflective of what they are looking for. I do believe that I think anyone, if they're going to have something in a collection, they have to have some sort of like or dislike. However, when you're dealing with a high net worth individual, I think a lot of times they're just looking at, well, I don't care if I like it or not, is it going to appreciate? is this going to be one of the best examples, or is this one of a unique style or a unique something that is going to attract and hold value, as opposed to, oh, I love this and I'm just going to collect it and I don't care if it goes up in value or not.
Okay. Pretty much everything he said is similar to what I was going to say, but mine a slightly different slant in that is I think when you have, first of all, he said something very important, art advisor, because when you have that much disposable income and you want to get into something like the art market, which is a, let's just be honest here, it's a commodity, you need someone to help guide you through. And I think usually what they start with is what the client's likes and dislikes are and their interests. So I think partially you have to depend on what the art advisor, and they might recommend something that is not to your taste, but to Tim's point, is it going to appreciate in value? So I'm sure there are probably some things, if you look through this collection, that you think, gee, you know, this kind of looks a little weird for what he collected. Well, we don't know. Maybe the things that, because it runs the gamut from, like, I know, 15th, 16th century paintings up to, you know, Giacometti. So there's a wide.
And Calder.
A wide variety of art here. So, and when you get to that level, there comes a point, I think, when you personally are buying it as the investment and you don't really necessarily have to like it, as long as your return is going to be substantial.
All right. It's just something that in the back of my mind, see, it's me as not being art. If I had the money and I was going to collect something, I would be the type that would collect things that I like.
Me too.
Not as an investment, but it's very easy for me to say that sitting here, knowing that I don't have that money.
Here's the other thing, Marshall. I'm very much that is me to a T, because you know, I believe in exhibiting things. As you know, I believe in being able to admire them up close and look at them on a regular basis. And if you're buying something as an investment and you don't like it, why would you want to hang it and look at it? I mean, see, for me, I would have certain criteria if I had an art advisor, if I had the wherewithal to even employ an art advisor. But for me, I would not enjoy collecting something that I wasn't able to look at and really enjoy. That would be a problem for me.
All right. I'm going to move on here and bring back a familiar name, Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol, that's right. Who? I like that. Who? $80 million white car crash painting is going to hit the auction block once again at Sotheby.
When will it end?
I mean, it seems like, you know, more and more of the stuff comes out on a release basis. It's $80 million is what they're saying. It's from it's from a series of works, Death and Disaster works.
Yes.
so there's more to come.
That was his blue period.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the things that are in that series, but they're pretty dark.
Well, you know,
they really are.
It's amazing. They say there's going to be a. At this auction that this is being, they're going to have more than $1 billion worth of artwork to offer, a billion. Now, will you guys, yeah. Would you have thought 10 years ago that you would have an auction that would have $1 billion worth of work in it?
No. We've talked about this actually. If you remember when we first started the show, which is many years ago, I think it's been close to 13 or 14 years.
Yeah, absolutely, Marshall. Absolutely, yes.
And we started talking about art was a big part of what we were talking about then, and we were concerned nobody's going to pay that amount of money for a piece of art, especially at auction online. And where are we today? Eating our words. So I think that this is just. I think it's just progression. I think it's just the way it's evolving. The art market is evolving. And, I mean, never in our wildest imagination would we have thought that we would be at a place where they would toss around numbers like this, like dominoes. And here we are. And, you know, and it's not for the faint of heart. You have to have the income to do this. But apparently those people who do this and have that kind of income, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. Let's just say that. Well, and $80 million.
Right, but it also goes back to just what we were talking about, is that if you had an art advisor and you held on to things, you know, we're just seeing that things are, you know, not everything, and this is the distinction, not everything rises in a market, is that there's an artist name, there's a desirability, there's, it's from a certain series, there's a number of different factors, but, you know, Andy Warhol is not creating anymore. Now, of course, the foundation, they're creating a lot of other marketing and other, you know, other things that are keeping his name out there as well as an artist. But it's also that people want that in their collection, and people that have held on to that and really believed in, let's see where the market goes, they're starting to benefit from that, is that, yes, these particular artists are going up. And, you know, it just never ceases to amaze me. You think that we've hit this pinnacle, and then all of a sudden there's a whole nother collection that's come through that's like, oh, now this one. Look, this is going to be the most.
And a lot of the times Andy Warhol's name is mentioned in what Tim just said. Because we just when you think an Andy Warhol can't sell for any more, another auction happens. And here we are. We're looking at an $80 million piece of art.
Well, also a story that goes along with what we're talking about the amount of money. I looked at a story, and one of America's billionaires, Ronald Perlman, started selling off his assets, okay, in 2020. Just not selling off, unloading. I love this term, unloading. You've got to unload some assets. Well, it started off with normal things like private jets, yachts, okay?
Yeah.
Now Sotheby's has got a sale, the Perlman collection, Masterworks of Design. Now he's into the French Art Deco and design period, and as they say, this sale has an estimate that it's going to be worth between $14 million and $21 million.
Yeah.
Just offloading. Just offloading. Really.
Well,
dumping.
It's nice work if you can get it. offloading.
Well, if you buy well, you sell well.
That's true. And that's true. And we've said this many, many times. Good stuff always sells well. Always. And if you look at the markets, it will bear that out, because the fads that happen, they come and go, but great art and great design, it still commands the amount of value that it rightfully deserves. So it's just a matter of where will it end? That's the question.
The only way it's going to end is when Earth gets sucked in, but to a black hole.
It will continue.
It will continue.
Yeah, that'll be Andy Warhol's next series, the black hole. I mean, it's going to happen.
Now, the interesting thing before we go on with the next thing, for the first time in ever, they've discovered that a black hole actually ejected a couple of planets. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, wow.
So maybe everything, once you go into that black hole, isn't destroyed. It's ejected two planets. I think that's an amazing discovery. But we'll go on to something else, more down to earth things that I can understand better, and that's an auction in York, Pennsylvania, coming up on November 15th. I'm probably going to pronounce the name of the auction company wrong. Hakes. Okay, they've got Star Wars and vintage video games going on, they've got games like the double telescoping Obi-Wan Kenobi is estimated itself at $100,000 to $200,000. Now, to me, what we were just been talking about, we're down to reasonable prices now.
Down to normal prices. I still couldn't afford it, but that's okay.
it's amazing. There's a 3.75-inch square sample figure of Princess Leia from Return of the Jedi, a rare 10-inch tall prototype of Yoda, a doll, and that, they're saying, is going to go for anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000. It's a 10-inch montage. Star Wars is an amazing machine. That's all you can say.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, machine is the right word for it, because it just keeps cranking out. It's amazing. It really is something. And you know, and there again, in 1976 or 77, when this opened, only George Lucas had the foresight to do all the merchandise. I think people at the time thought, "Oh, this is a fool's errand." I mean, who's going to want this stuff? And here we are, all these years later.
Well, here's
where we are.
If I'm going to put this name, also included in this auction, is something that I'm sure 70% of the people don't even know what it is: a G.I. Joe action figure. Now, I know what it is, because I used to have G.I. Joe. That's going to go between $5,000 and $10,000.
Oh, yeah. I think G.I. Joe has been sleeping for a while, because I think the last time it brought stuff like that was, Tim, didn't you do the box sale at Christie's?
Well, we did the prototypes of different the different G.I. Joes, but they also had them in the they were on the card, but that was back in the mid-90s. I mean, so look how long it's taken for these numbers to, you know, so, I mean, just take zeros off the end. I mean, whether we're talking G.I. Joe or works of art, we're looking at things that people had collected, they've held on to, and there has been some sort of appreciation over over the years. Some just takes longer than others.
After a deep, I will say after a depreciation, because there was a time when after the original G.I. Joe sale, when things were like really flying high, and then all of a sudden it tanked because it just wasn't the same, because all of a sudden all of these G.I. Joe things started coming out of the woodwork. And what happens when you have too much supply and not enough demand? The prices go down. So now it's kind of been sleeping for all these years, and little by little it's started to come back. And I also, in that vein, I've noticed also a slight trend upward in Barbies again, the original Barbies, because there was a time when they first sold for a tremendous amount of money, and then the same thing happened with Barbie that happened to G.I. Joe. And that is, there was like a decline in the market because everything came out and came onto the market, and of course it decreased the prices. And now the best of the best is starting to come back, and it's the same with G.I. Joe. I mean, it's that's what happens. That's a trend, and right now the trend is in their favor. Now we don't know how long that's going to last, but the trend is right now on an uptick.
And one final thing, the motion picture series Transformers, one of the original Transformers from 1984, which is Optimus Prime. This toy changes from, of course, a tractor trailer into a robot and back. It's in its original window box, and it estimates that it's going to go for $10,000 to $20,000. Optimus Prime.
Let me just make a full disclosure here. I've never been into Transformers, but I do know they have a tremendous appeal, because a friend of ours, their son was little, he knew them all. He had them all. We have to find out, Tim, whether Patrick has any of these anymore, because he took very good care of his toys, so he might have a small fortune going on there.
Yeah.
Well, I just shake my head. Optimus Prime, and I enjoy it. I enjoy the movies. I love blockbuster movies that have things blow up and everything like that. It's a lot of fun. But there's something out there. There's something out there for everyone.
Everyone. Every collecting style and taste.
Amazing. Well,
I
of course.
I do have one thing to say that I have to say, because I was, you know, before we went on the air, I usually listen to see what's happening on your show. So, and I was listening to the interview with the lady from, where was she from? I forget what her name was. Oh, the magazine. And they were talking about the natural resources in the Hudson Valley. I think you and the radio station are truly, truly a natural resource of great value for the Hudson Valley. I just had to get that out there.
Well, they can auction me off. All right, guys. Of course, Tim and Greg can be found at tqag.com. Have a good week, guys, and I'll speak to you next week.
Okay,
sounds
you
good.
Too.
Take care, guys. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robinhood Radio and robinhoodradio.com.